from Onde, O-N-D-E. That's Timo Van Lugic, Mark Robolewski, and Greg Jacobs. We heard the track 2. The name of the LP is 1. It's on the Onde Music label. And we're going to end it here. A little bit of Lopez LH, the second in a series of The Advantages of Schizophrenia from Raymond Dykstra's, on the name Raymond Dykstra record. And this has been A Different Nature. And you can get the playlist at kboo.fm as well as podcast the show for the next couple weeks. Thank you for listening.
Attention KABU members, you are invited to give your feedback on KABU's draft mission and vision statements. Based on member feedback from the recent survey and member retreat, KABU board and staff members created draft mission and vision statements. Now we want to know what you think. This is your chance to help define KABU's guiding principles and priorities. Visit KABU.fm to review the draft mission and vision statements and submit your comments. Paper copies of the draft statements are also available at the station. Comments are due July 17th. If you have questions, please contact Monica Beamer at monica@kabu.org. Thank you for contributing to the development of KABU's mission and vision statements and for your support of community radio.
KABU Community Radio is proud to present The Harder They Come as part of the KABU at the Clinton monthly film series. The Harder They Come is a 1972 Jamaican crime film. With dreams of becoming a successful reggae singer, a young Jamaican man, played by Jimmy Cliff, finds corruption from his record producers and the drug pushers they're connected to. Again, that's The Harder They Come, Thursday, July the 9th at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kabu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
You are tuned in to KBOO Portland. This is Poetic License, and I am your host, Taria Autry. For this July episode, I am featuring youth poetry. We've got third graders from Raleigh Park Elementary, middle school students from St. Helens, and high school performances from Verslandia. I'm so glad you tuned in, and you're going to be too. First up, we are going to be hearing from students that are third graders from Raleigh Park Elementary. They'll be fourth graders now in the fall. And I did a residency with them. They were fantastic, super entertaining, and they actually wrote some wonderful poetry and were able to perform it. So we headed to the local coffee shop, and here's some of what third graders had to say from Raleigh Park Elementary.
Hi, my name is Ellie, and I will be performing my poem called Stars. Stars, oh stars, you bring light to night, little specks of power standing so tall, for if we were without you, night would be as meaningless as a pile of sticks. From Earth you look small, but through space you are humongous. Stars, oh stars, I really appreciate you. With glows of radiant light, you are original like a flower that's just bloomed. You've been here forever, wonderful stars. Stars, oh stars, in the depths of the night, gleaming with power beside the bright moon, my eyes shine with happiness, intrigued with the stars' amazing sights. You're like twinkling lights, but when time for bed, I still gaze at my window, looking at the stars, what joy you bring.
Hi, my name is Lorenzo, and here's a poem called The Wind. The wind is blowing leaves off trees, and it is howling like a dog. The wind blows my hat off me, making trees bare. It's sending seeds everywhere and making new plants. Blowing down power lines and lots of branches, like a blizzard blowing down trees. The wind creates tornadoes and destroys many things. The wind is exploding in winter and very calm in summer. The wind is the wind. You can't change it. The wind is always the wind.
Thank you, Lorenzo. Next up, put your hands together for Erickson.
I hate that feeling when a loved one is passed. Tears are common. It feels quiet in your heart, like the world blew up. You feel fragile all over, like a crystal being mined. The mind is swarmed by memories. The body might have died, but not their soul.
Nice. The next piece is by Harris.
Wolfie. Amazing. Amazing. Best friend. Barking, jumping, running, furry. Pudding. Wonderful. Pouncing, running, jumping, playful. Adrian. Always fun, wild, jumping, talking, fun to play with.
Next up we have Haley.
Thunder and lightning. Thunder is like a giant walking up the stairs. Lightning is like a light bulb flickering before it goes out. Hail. Hard as a rock. Fast as wind. Cold as water. Seems to last forever, but when it stops, it can feel like it never happened.
Our next poet is Aiden.
My poem is The Wind Blows With Us. Have you ever seen a speck of wind moving with us, running or flying, to meet us as running or frozen? But moving is just moving, and you see me gleaming and shining. When you run as along, and we all have fun, we give up, but we run together. So when you come up to me, and you see my frown, you just know to take my crown.
Beautiful.
My name is Caden, and today I'm going to be reading a poem called Rain. Rain, it's as clear as glass. Little drops go drip, drop, drip, drop, drip. It makes noises like little drums. It falls from the sky like hail or snow. But it's clear like glass. Keeps falling like leaves on a tree on a fall morning. It falls and falls again. Drop, drip, drop, drip. It can make you feel sad. And it's not fun inside. But it is raining outside. When it's raining outside, but you can play a board game. Rain, it might rain and have scary noises. You can feel the happiness of playing in the wetness.
Hi, my name is Max, and I'm going to be sharing a poem called Wind. Wind, going on and on forever. It feels like a fan blowing in your face. The wind goes on forever. It blows the seeds that end up in yards to make plants, and those plants become flowers. It goes through the air and goes everywhere. The wind goes on forever.
The next poem is by the one and only Brandon.
Okay, math. Working with a partner is joyful when a problem is very hard, and when we do our work, we come up with ideas how to figure out the answer. Multiply can be challenging, and division too. Sometimes easy when we learn the facts. Check it with the teacher to see if it's correct. Those are the things that we do in math.
You're listening to third grade students from Raleigh Park Elementary, and our next reader is going to be Gustavo.
Seasons. Fall has lots of wind, leaves fall off trees. On Halloween, you dress up and get candy. School starts and you meet new friends in new classes. Then comes winter, freezing and cold, drinking hot cocoa, hot chocolate. Go ice skating or sledding. because winter is here and it's spring next. That was bloom. Trees get their leaves back so happy as can be. Lastly, summer comes with the hot, hot sun. Going to the beach, getting something cold like icy soda, because summer will end and fall will come back. So enjoy the sun before it ends. Season go in a cycle, fall, winter, spring, and summer. Season go around and around.
Hi, my name's Aiden. My poem's called Rain. Falling from the sky, landing on the roof. Splish, splash, rolling off the roof. Again, splish, splash, racing through the gutters. Falling in the mud, plip, plop, weaving through trees' bark. Squiggle, plop, it's rain.
Hi, my name's Val, and I'm going to perform my poem called Aiden. Aiden, yes, he's my friend, a special one to me. I trust him, he trusts me. We play together, we know each other, we are best friends. We never doubt each other, because I trust him and he trusts me. We're best friends forever.
Hi, my name is Tristan. I'm going to be telling you a poem about life. Life is a great place. Life is one of a kind. Life will not be the same some days. Life can open up windows. Some days life can be good. Some days life can be bad. Do not try to change life. Hi, my name is Tristan. I'm going to be telling you a poem about life. Life is a great place. Life is one of a kind. Life will not be the same some days. Life can open up windows. Some days life can be good. Some days life can be bad. Do not try to change life.
Nice and loud.
This is called I'm a Girl by Amy. I'm a girl who feels happy when I get invited to parties, sad when my toys are thrown away, and excited when I'm going shopping. Sister of Christian Giovanni Adriana, who believes that I can get good grades, who fears spiders, darkness, and snakes that look big. Funny, kind, helpful, respectful. Funny as a monkey doing flips and wearing a dress. Kind by sharing my things. Helpful by helping a new kid follow the rules. Who needs less TV, less candy, and less talking. Who says yay. Who would like to roller skate, have a play day, and go to the beach on sunny days.
Hi, my name is Caleb, and I'm going to be sharing a poem called Monsters. One night, I wake up and I hear mysterious scratching noises from every direction. Suddenly, I see glittering, sharp teeth coming out of my closet. I don't know what to do. I panic. Now my door is creeping open. I hear creaking noises coming up the stairs. Then I squeeze my stuffed animals to death. I see that the door is wide open. Something's coming. In the early light of morning, my mom quietly opens the door like a super slow slug, but I vanished.
Our next poet is Mimi.
Friends, we spend a day of fun together, and that is all I ask for. I know one day when we'll leave, I go in life without her. When she comes back to town, I know she'll always remember me. We'll go out for a nice dinner, and after, a movie. In the morning, we go out for brunch. Today, she'll go back home where her family is. And now I have just the old ones. You always want more, but that's all you need. Beloved dear fans, here are like happy sisters.
Thank you so much, Mimi. That was beautiful. There are best friends, and there are friends of the four-legged persuasion. This next poem is by James.
Oh, how I want a dog. It will be so soft, so soft, and sleep on a loft. Oh, how I want a dog. I will name him Mr. Mittens and let him play with kittens. Oh, how I want a dog. I will take him to the park. I will take him to the zoo. And he'll always bark when he sees cows that go moo. Oh, how I want a dog. Oh, I'll play hide and seek and I won't peek, for he will hide and I will seek. Oh, how I want a dog. But he will be the best in town. Get him his own vest so he won't drown. Oh, how I want a dog. I will name him Mr. Mittens. On my lap he will be sitting. Oh, how I want a dog. Oh, how I want a dog.
That was James. Thank you, James. Don't forget your poem. Make sure you give that to your parents. Let them know you really want a dog. Next up, we have Helen. Put your hands together for Helen.
Meals, breakfast. My stomach is growling with the joy of eating crunchy cereal with milk, smooth yogurt and granola, fluffy pancakes with syrup, sweet blueberry muffins, lunch. I've been waiting since breakfast to have delicious salad with cheese, juicy tomatoes from the garden, amazing roasted chicken, bumpy peanut butter and jam sandwich, dinner. It seems like it has been 1,000 years since lunch. Awesome hot butter noodles, warm bread on the side, spicy chips and salsa, homemade chocolate mousse. I wonder what's for breakfast.
Our next young reader is going to be June.
Window, I see through you. Clear and colorful. From the outside, I see the inside. From the inside, I see the outside. Clear as crystal, pure glass. You can get dirty, but I'll clean you right up. Sometimes with shapes inside you, sometimes not. Panes like thin pieces of clear wood. On houses and cars and windows or doors, you help me see the world in different ways. You can have curtains or blinds, but those block out the world. When I'm shut inside, I can see the outside through you. Window.
Our next third grade reader is Nathan.
Cats. They sneak, eat, and pounce. Hiss, chase, and scratch. When night arrives, they come alive for the hunt. And wait for an owl or a possum to move. Stalking birds in the tall grass, watching for muscles twitching, eyes darting, weakness showing. But sadly, day comes before the cat can eat. Then the cat goes inside for some breakfast, curling upon its perch aloft, closing eyes and resting for the next hunt.
Thank you, Nathan. And we're going to bring Kaylee back up to the stage. Put your hands together for Kaylee.
Monster creeping. I hear something moving. I look around my bedroom. I see teeth glaring in the moonlight. I hide under my bed for a bit. While I'm hiding under my bed, I quiver in fear. I think for a solid moment, will it eat me? Will it crush me? I run to my parents' room as fast as a fox. They say to turn on the lights. Okay, I say quivering. I can't find the light switch. I try to sleep. I do. I dream of beautiful tropical oceans. I dream of dolphins flying free on the sunset. I dream for only a second. Then I wake up. The monster is still there. I see teeth glaring in the moonlight like a bit of silver. I try to find the light switch. I find it. I flick it up with no hesitation. I see if the monster is still there. It was only a big rose-red balloon with a face on it. I think for one more moment. It can't eat me. It can't crush me. Silly, terrible monsters.
Up next is Madison.
Today, I run and play. Today is your day. Go outside and run a mile. Run as fast as a horse. Make a smile. Be the best you can be because today is your day. Spread the cheer. Sing the song in your heart. Today, I run and play. Today is your day.
Thank you, Madison. Put your hands together for Jolene is coming up to the mic to share with us.
Where are my parents? Out at the store? Where? What will creep in the dark tonight? A wolf, Dracula, or maybe a kidnapper in his dark black coat? All you see is a dark black room. A shiver of fear comes down your spine. What will happen next? No one there to help. It's only you. Suddenly you pause. All you hear is crying and fears playing in your mind. Then the knob starts to turn. Your heart pounds against your chest. Then you're just so relieved. It's just your parents.
Thank you, Jolene.
Claire, awesome, creative, athletic, funny, sister of Lucy, lover of big fluffy unicorns, books and sports that you get to run in. Who would like to be neighbors with my favorite cousin, eat more of all the donuts in the world, and win at track meets. Who sat as a girl who dropped her lollipop when my dogs died, as scared of wasps as fish are scared of sharks, and as happy when my grandma comes. He says, keep calm and be awesome. Me, Hankin.
Sound words of advice coming from third graders at Raleigh Park Elementary School in Beaverton. Keep calm and be awesome.
Second chance from breathe each breath as if with your last lung. When you and yours are on the run from an avalanche weighing over a ton, speak each word as if spoken with a stolen tongue, stolen from the head of 100 hungry hunters surrounding with 100 loaded guns. Climb each ladder as if your hand land on the last rung as you rise into the sky to kiss the sun goodbye. Savor each kiss as if your lips kiss God's left eye. The second she goes blind and has to find someone who sees things her way to help redesign the universe back before time, and you just happen to be there after meeting her in prayer. Pray each prayer as if it is the last prayer anyone anywhere will ever say or hear. Pray for enough to share with those around you, not for enough to spare, as if next year said you would be there. Somebody say you'll be another day. Nobody knows if you'll be another hour. How do you know you'll be another minute? Experience each minute as if an eternity is in it, and a thousand lifetimes will be behind you after each minute is finished. Finish each meal as if each morsel of each mouthful carries the last sensation your senses will ever feel. From forehead to heel, feel each caress of your skin as if flesh is the only unforbidden fruit in a world full of sin, in a world full of shame, in a world full of pain, in a world where pleasure is the last remaining measure of a long-lost science called love. But we are the pirates, and we are the pilots, and we are the deep sea divers who know these waters best. It's coming. It's coming.
Hi, I'm Carla.
I'm Hayden.
I'm McKenna.
And we're from St. Helens Middle School.
And we participate in an after-school group called Slam Boo.
Slam Boo for me has always been a way to describe myself through writing, and it helped me a lot. In a certain way, it was like therapy for me.
Slam is basically a way for young poets to express themselves freely, and it helps build bridges between different communities. It helped me make new friendships with the people that I didn't know could even be my friend.
Slam showed me what I was capable in writing-wise.
To me, Slam is a way to freely express yourself without being judged, and a way to truly tell everyone how you feel.
It's interesting to me that you say Slam is a way to show people how you feel without being judged, because there are actual judges holding up scores. Mm-hmm. So that seems a little ironic. So can you tell me a little more about that? Why does it feel like you're not being judged, even though
being judged as your personality?
Yeah, being judged by the people in the room, like the kids your age, not necessarily like the judges.
Like, oh, that's how your life is, like you're messed up, or like you dress weird or, like, certain things like that.
Like, you can be yourself in front of them. You can tell them how you feel, and they're not going to be like, oh, I'm going to give you a bad score because you told me how you feel.
And it's, like, it's about the poetry, not the points.
I had the pleasure to get to sit down and work with Carla, McKenna, and Hayden as part of their grand prize for being the champions of Slam Boo with this fantastic group piece that you were about to hear.
Hi, I'm Carla.
I'm Hayden.
I'm McKenna.
And this is dedicated to the kids who lost their voices. This is Keep Breathing. We've done a lot of things we'll never regret. The good ones, the bad ones, moments we'll never forget.
It's hard for me to cheer up because I'm always feeling blue by accepting the fact that my life is never going to be the same without you.
You've been with me through ups and downs. You've been willing to walk with me on the outskirts of town just to help me get through my problems all along. But now that you're already gone, I guess we have to be strong. You were only 15.
At that point, I wish I hit every string, every rope in living sight. I hoped you could hang out with me instead of the belt in your closet. Looking at the clock, it's 5:21.
Five.
As in May.
21.
As in the day that criticism swallowed her whole.
16 days after he left me, he was only 15. He was practically a child, but instead of playing with toys, he played with a gun. The bullet ripped through his flesh, leaving an empty hole in his chest and leaving him for the earth to devour.
You were only 11.
You had a whole life ahead of you, but I guess when people tell you...
You're worthless.
You mean nothing.
It'd be better if you just died.
Then I would want to go too. I want to forget. I really do, but you can't forget something that's a part of you.
Even though you're gone, I'll never forget you. You were always there for me, but now I guess I have to be there for myself. I want you to know I still love you. Wherever you are, I grieve for you, and I want you to be by my side.
It all started from that word unsaid. Unknown, you left me hanging there, breathless and alone.
The cracks in your skin ran deep, but I failed to see the blood-stained sleeves and the rusty razors biting your soft skin.
You were one selfish lover left unloved and blind.
I needed to tell you, you're going to be okay. Breathe and remember that you've been in this place before. You've been this uncomfortable.
Anxious.
And scared.
And if you survive once, I know you can do it again. These feelings can't break you.
You're stronger than that.
Yes, these feelings may be painful and harsh, but I know you could sit with them and they'll eventually pass.
Maybe not immediately.
I know it's unbearable right now, but keep breathing.
Again.
And again.
This will pass, I promise. But I was too late.
I loved you more than you could ever love yourself.
And that still wasn't enough.
You're tuned into KBOO Portland. Poetic License. I'm your host, Taria Autry, and we're featuring youth voices this month from all ages. We had third graders from Raleigh Park Elementary. We just listened to middle school students from St. Helens. Next up, we're going to hear from high school students from all over the Portland, Oregon, and wider area sharing their words and wisdom. It's pretty amazing. For the last few years, Literary Arts has been throwing an amazing poetry party for high school students. It's called Verselandia. Students from all over the city of Portland and outlying areas compete at their schools with a series of slams in order to get the top, this year, three contestants from each school. So we had about 40 poets, I believe, that were competing at the very beginning in the first round. And then for the second round, we narrowed that number down to 10 poets. Now, I'm going to tell you, honestly, my mind was blown by all the amazing poetry that happened that night. And it was really difficult to actually pick and choose. But because I'm keeping this episode clean for our third grade families who might decide to tune in, that helped me a little bit. And I really wanted to get a good representation of a lot of different voices, a lot of different pieces, from topics of love and crushes to identity, writing poetry to family dynamics, harsh realities of violence in our daily lives to hope and encouragement. These high school students have so much to say.
Our next poet coming to the stage is Bella.
The ice cream truck was outside of school today. Adolescents clambered around the bright pink vehicle, attempting to purchase their childhood in the form of a rocket ship popsicle. The preface of adulthood has been deemed unsatisfactory, so they seek the comfort of the cool dairy treat accompanied by the 50s music their mother used to play. But something is different. They have to pay for their nostalgia now. They reach into their pockets, hands gently brushing past pierced navels like many a boy on a late spring night, and they discover that their money is their own. Their lives are their own. Messy and chaotic and spilled like the milk they once wept for, and after begging for independence, these children, faces painted and dressed up in mommy's high heels, yearn for the first time for what used to be after years of wishing on stars for this moment. Listen closely, my friends. This moment you're blinking at, this is the ice cream. It is all that has been and all that will be. Let it slide down your throat slowly, for this frozen treat is finite. Learn to love the brain freeze, because there are nights when hell gets pretty damn hot, and you'll find yourself screaming for ice cream until you grow hoarse, and there will be no creepy ice cream man to heed the call. Since he will not be there then, go there now. Pay for your overpriced delight, but do not remember. Experience. Remembrance is the only way to waste the present, and before you know it, your ice cream will have congealed on the floor, and then who will buy you another?
And our next poet coming to the stage is going to be Alexis. Put your hands together for Alexis.
Racism does not exist, says the well-off white man living on the hill. Racism does not exist, says the woman who had never been asked to drop her bag in the store, says the man who had never been had trouble getting a job, says the man who had never been stopped by police, says the man who had never been murdered by police. I know what you're thinking, another kid getting rowdy over race. Look at her face. Well, you would be too if your friend was tased by police. And it doesn't matter whether or not he was a good kid on the football team or someone lost in negative extremes, he's just a kid minding his own business, but then soon a victim of being suspicious. The whole scene was vicious and left me with a sickness. Left me feeling ill, and these cops were left with a thrill. They're doing their same damn drill, waiting to pounce on their next kill. And the police reports were long because I know that they know that we know they did something wrong. And it's not about blacks fixing whites or whites fixing blacks. It's shining a light on the dark tunnel of ignorance our people are so lost in. Gentrification will not solve our cause. Portland itself has the worst faux pas, number one in the nation for pushing out communities. White businessmen come in thinking they're building immunity, all while cultures struggle to survive. Black, Latino, Asian, Native, the whole beehive. And our women have got it the worst. The queens of all cultures just seem to be cursed. Why are we still talking about rape? And the way that the rapist is praised, why are we saying that the victim is to blame? To be asking for it or not to be asking for it. She must have been. Her shoulders were showing and her legs were all skin. So what if consent was not given? No one will believe her. She belongs in the kitchen. And for God's sake, stop hitting on us in the street. Don't tell me to smile. It's not as flattering as you think. I don't have to live up to these expectations you hold. These whistles and compliments are really getting old. Bold choices made by these grown men. Yet if women were to try them, we'd be far from commended. But men don't have it off the hook completely. Don't show too much emotion. Don't be less than man. Don't talk like a woman. Don't throw like a woman. Don't love like a woman. God forbid you resemble anything woman. But the strongest thing you could be is woman. Fight like a woman, create life like a woman, or to not create life like a woman, because after all, it is her choice. And just because you have a vagina doesn't make you a chick, and having a dick doesn't make you a guy. Lies told to us early on to make us believe what's right and what's wrong. Don't be with the one you love if you have the same junk. Don't be on the outside looking in, it's cold out there. The world is a dark and scary place. We blame society for suicide, yet are we not society just standing by on the sidelines? Genocide is a crime against humanity, and pushing people off the edge with words seems to be too. The United States is considered a developed country, built on guns and germs and steel, built on the graves of lost cultures and the brittle yet burly bones of our ancestors, but we love it here. We raise that flag, put our right hand on our heart. One nation under God, we say in unison, while the descendants of its architectures lie in prison. But we don't mind. We keep our heads high. While you may think we all coexist, just remember, none of these things exist. Thank you.
Speaking of existence, a poet by the name of Wyatt had something to say about that.
But the universe continues on for thousands of years, forever expanding, like the imagination of a young child with his red crayon and a wall freshly cleaned that he can make into his own world. The universe doesn't care about the arcane, the insane, and the inhumane taking over the minds of everyone in this world. So why should it give a damn about me? Thank you.
Now that was just an excerpt from Wyatt's piece, and next up is an excerpt from a poet by the name of Mitch.
I'm taking a stand. Standing up to these shadows, these silhouettes, this devilish other part of me that I can't escape from. I don't want this dark passenger anymore. I don't want to wear some facade every single day, all because I have to be just like him, or just like her, or just like everyone else. I'm starting fresh, cleaning the slate. But as I gaze behind me, I can still see that monstrous being. I still encounter him on a daily basis, and I try to hold him off. But the dark is waging war on me, and it's one against a million, and I am being shoved off of my narrow path. There are no blankets of light elsewhere. So I guess it's my time to be consumed. See you all in the shadow world.
Speaking of shadows, while our third graders talked about monsters for pretend in the closet, our high school students talked about real-life monsters. We're going to start with this powerful piece by Havana.
For some kids, music is traded in for the sounds of parents screaming, branding their orchestrated war on the child between them. One home becomes two like the dividing of a cell, and they have to learn the hard way that two is not better than one. The only colors they know are blood red, purple bruised, and the pink of skin rubbed raw. Magic kits and model airplane kits become rape kits, and your mind grows up too fast, even though your arms and legs are screaming that you're still just a baby. Some touches of parents are far from loving, flinching at the slightest brush of a shoulder because the only kind of touch you were taught about made your skin crawl. Alcohol bottles are house decorations, and liquor drowns out the moms who don't come to soccer games and the dads who didn't know how good you were at painting. Dads who leave in the dead of night and stay gone for 3 days, and the moms who red-faced find a condom wrapper in the car. To these kids, love only means dark rooms and parents who only touch when it's meant to hurt, or parents who aren't there at all. But the problem is, it's not some kids, it's most.
In our next piece, we are going to hear from Janet talking about the reality of harassment and unwanted attention.
After a while, the eyes that follow you become interrogation. And the cars that slow down for a better look seem like ice cream trucks with their stickers peeling your skin starch. After a while, concrete becomes minefields and smiles become hungry and you cross your fingers to walk through playgrounds. After a while, compliments become white knuckles on your neckline and whistles become impatient fingers. After a while, nothing becomes all eyes on you and you become prey and your skin starts itching. After a while, teeth bruise and hands bite and shoulders cringe and neck down and look straight and fast steps and closing your eyes is weak. After a while, Bus stops become cages, and cages become the better option, and your skin starts itching. After a while, fingers are always curled around keys, but his fingers could be curled around knives, or worse, around you, and fingers through your hair pull like puppet strings and sciatic nerves, and fingers on your arms hit bone, and his fingers are stronger than your fingers, so he can pull you in like a rag doll and sew buttons over your eyes. After a while, you can only see through four holes, and needles through your temporal lobe start to hurt, but closing your eyes is weak, and your skin starts itching. You are someone's daughter. Or maybe you're someone's son. One day, if you want to be, you'll be someone's mother, or maybe someone's father. You are someone's neighbor. You're someone's student. You're someone's teacher. You're someone's friend. You're someone. But after a while, you forget that. And you start to imagine what it'd be like if he ripped your hair till it's thick red yarn, and scratched off your clothes and your feathers and your wings until there's nothing left but bones and the dress your grandmother stitched together. After a while, you start to believe that if you let him tear you apart and wrap you in fabrics and turn you to rags, then maybe your skin would stop itching. Thank you.
Our next excerpt is from Gwen.
He fell in love with my flowers, but then autumn came and the petals fell and my branches weren't enough for him, so he had to cut down the whole tree and tear up the roots. Now my bed is not a sanctuary, but a reminder that soft sheets can cut deeper than butcher knives. This was not the poetic breaking of a heart. This was not a tragic love story. This was a natural disaster so large they had to name it after him. He was the cruelest lesson I was ever forced to learn, and the title of that lesson was Boyfriend.
Taya had a question for the audience and some thoughts about the significance of poetry. Listen for yourself.
Show of hands, how many of you like poetry? Kind of what I thought. And I'm sure whether you're old or young, when your teacher said, "Come on, kids, we're doing a poetry unit," you smiled and gripped your pen like a sword, like one of those guys on Game of Thrones, and you were so ready. Until the boy sitting in the back with his snapback on backwards said, "Ugh, no, I hate poetry." And you knew he wasn't worthy of the weapon we wield. See, poets wouldn't wear a sign over their head that says, "I'm a poet and I know it." No, we wouldn't be so obvious. We live marvelously mundane lives just like you, but we are different. See, when you cut a normal person, they slap a Band-Aid on it, but when you cut a poet, they bleed and bleed until they wipe the blood onto paper, and the blood becomes words, and the words become a poem. So don't cut a poet, because they'll cut you back. Us poets, we use our victims as material. Our words give us an air that makes us seem imperial. Poets never strike once like Lucky Charms. We're cereal. So beware of the serial poet in your life. Don't shake hands with any of us scintillating sinners, because it could be the last hand you ever shake. After all, poetry is the gateway drug to murder.
And let me tell you, these high school students were killing it on stage. Next, we're going to shift to some pieces where folks talk about identity. The first excerpt is going to be by Shay Lee.
Could you imagine viewing a human life as if it was on some sort of price list? But to this system, you are a human barcode, America's cargo, taken before there was a thought of conception in your mother's womb, consumed by whatever media is placed in front of your face. Don't let them let you think for a second that you are worth anything. Don't let them let you think for a second that you are worth nothing. Because all of our lives have worth. There is no truth in the hateful words and accusations. We have assembled demonstrations for all the races, embraced our thought-filled brains, and created monumental change. I am more than an income, more than the melanin in my skin or the lack thereof. Don't let them let you think for a second that you are worth nothing. You are the college graduate, the young boy who refused to take up his mother's drug habit. You are the Dolores Huerta, the single mother taking care of two kids. You are the Winona LaDuke, the janitor who will clean this place when we all leave. We refuse to be silenced.
Our next excerpt is going to be from Rona.
Your heritage is more than an exotic enigma. It is more than yellow fever. It is more than studious Ivy League-bound kids with tiger parents. It is more than pork soup dumplings in a language that sounds like pots and pans. And it is more than everything you were afraid of. Thank you.
And we're going to keep it rolling with a clip from Fiona.
I am not your stereotype. I am the sum of my parts, not just some of my parts, and you cannot pick me apart and tell me what I am or am not. I am me, and I will be a proud Jewish woman on my terms.
Next up, we have Sakai.
I am the slave's greatest dream and your grandpappy the master's worst nightmare. I am a cultural connection to our past oppression. I am the future and the past. I object to the ideal that yin is bad and black is evil, because I mean, come on, people. Let's look at history. I am black. Like the ocean's greatest secret and the lion's greatest mane, I am black. I am black. I am black. So this right here is for everybody that loves to ask me, so what are you?
And I don't think that it would be a proper poetry slam if people hadn't talked about love. This next poem about emotions is brought to you by Isabel.
Bokuwa, chaos, confusion, hurt, sad, angry, fleeing, fighting, curled up in a clamshell like a pearl and yet stripped bare. My heart lying on the cold metal table with shackled wrists and its chest cut open with surgical precision, the bloody, ugly insides open for all the world to see. Why do we feel? Why do we allow ourselves to be pushed around by these things, forces, beings, kanjo, feelings? Why do we let them rule us? No. More than rule us, we make them into gods, worship the ground they step on, appeasing Aphrodite, hoping to win her favor because everyone covets eye, love, offerings to the earth shaker to control your rage, searching for Persephone hopelessly to stave off Demeter's despair. Why do we? Things like being happy, being satisfied with your life, lies. Lies, all of them, because how can you be happy and satisfied when you live in constant fear of despair and grief? It never changes. A never-ending cycle, hopeless as Sisyphus pushing the rock up the hill in hell for all of eternity. We are all pushing the rocks of love and joy. I, Toyorokovi, up the hills of our lives, but like Sisyphus, atoning for his sins, we will never reach the top and be freed. Kanjo, feelings, I don't want them. I don't want to need them, need the aching, hollow feeling that never leaves me alone, but maybe I'm just forever waltzing with pain. Maybe I'm a masochist who loves being hurt, having my chest cut open with surgical precision and all of the blood and feelings pouring out like I'm lying there dying, and oh, isn't it beautiful? Maybe that's the reason why we keep holding on to these feelings. Because when we're not screaming, crying, running, hurting, when we're clear-sighted, or maybe in love, the butterflies in our hearts shed their black wings and become, for a moment, beautiful.
Next up, we have Quentin, talking about how it's not always easy to say hi.
Give me a moment to jump into my disguise. Hopefully I brought the right supplies. Pull my hair out my face, puff up my chest, and stretch my neck to the skies. I should figure out how to greet this beautiful creature. I think to myself, that would be wise. Then it hits me like lightning, and after all the internal fighting, I man up and say, hey, how you doing? and waves are sent down my spine as she replies with, "I'm doing fine." At this point, my brain looks like a preschool freehand drawing with tons of colors and pointless happiness. I can feel my adrenaline falling. Jawline frozen with directions to wait while thawing. I can't walk. Hope she doesn't mind me crawling.
I couldn't resist including this excerpt from Taya.
When I'm around you, I can't really get out an intelligent sentence, and all of a sudden, everything Taylor Swift ever sang makes so much sense, and it feels so right and so wrong. Mostly so, so wrong. And it makes me wish dating was more like online shopping, because I love online shopping. But mostly I love the part of online shopping where you rate your transaction. So, to all the boys I've ever had a crush on, I'd like you to think about the last time we talked. How would you rate it on a scale of 1 to 10? Were there any problems? Would you date me? Why not? Was it because I played with my hair too much? Because be real, if you had this much hair, you'd play with it too. Was it because I bit my nails or because my outfit was a hot mess? Is my straight out of an episode of Saved by the Bell Kelly Kapowski wannabe look not doing it for you? Because it did it for Mario Lopez! Thank you for your feedback. It will be used to improve future transactions.
The next poet you're going to hear from is Kyrika. An excerpt.
See, there's beauty in the struggle, only because the outcome is the best. And then that's when I realize that I'm nothing like the rest. And then on top of that, I realize how much that I've been blessed. And out of nowhere, who would have guessed that writing all these poems was just to release all my stress? Open up my chest, remove this bulletproof vest, because I can say so positively that there was no one or no thing that could stop me in my quest. Thank you.
Our next excerpt is from a poet named Maya.
My hopes and desires being spit through rhyme, because I realize when I do, it's when I truly do shine. It's something that makes me happy, putting down my thoughts, but more like putting up, because these are my shots that I'm calling, and this is my calling. All the ink left on my hand, the curse of being someone who writes with the left hand, but it's a blessing, like everything else can be. Know what you owe it to love yourself. This is a message to you and me.
For our last poetic excerpt, Ashley gives words of encouragement.
You may stumble, and you may fall. You may even feel like an idiot. But, no. You are amazing. You are beautiful, and you are perfect. And grades? Grades ain't got nothing on you.
That was Ashley. I just want to put it out there. I had mediocre grades, and I turned out okay. I just want you all to know. High school can be great years, but there's so much great stuff after. I want to take a moment and just say that oftentimes I hear adults, you know, people that are old like me, say things like, these young people today, I'm so worried about our future. And I just hope that in hearing these words and all the wisdom, insight, intelligence, and poetry that these young folks have brought to the stage, that we all really reframe how we look at young people in our society. Let's give them all another big round of applause. They're not just on electronics. They're thinking and contemplating serious issues. And I love that, I respect that, and I thank all of you for sharing your words.
You have been listening to 2015 Verslandia Competitors. High school students from all around the Portland area flexing their poetic skills for judges and a huge audience. I was fortunate enough to be a judge the first 3 years of Verslandia, and this last year, I got to host it. And I can't tell you how much these students impress me every time they step to the mic. I'm really glad that you tuned in today on this episode of Poetic License featuring all youth voices. And of course, there are several people that I would like to take a moment to thank for making this episode possible. I want to start with the elementary school teachers at Rowley Park, who invited me to do a residency and got it set up for their students to read at the local coffee shop. That is where it all starts. Young people knowing they can step to the stage, share their thoughts, and be heard. Those teachers were Teresa Young, Emily Piersma, and Patricia Pozdalski. So I want to give them a big shout out. They were fantastic with their students. And I also want to thank Allison at Young Audiences for inviting me to be a part of that. After that, we heard from St. Helens Middle School students. I want to give a big thank you to McKenna, Carla, and Hayden for their fantastic work in the Slam Boo competition. It was a pleasure to have an afternoon to hang out with them. And of course, a shout out to the teachers that helped make Slam Boo possible. Charles Sanderson, Chris Reiser, so glad I got to work with you again this year. Crystal Briggs, thank you so much for the work you do with the students at St. Helens. And lastly, but definitely not least, I want to give a big thank you to Literary Arts and Writers in the Schools. Verslandia is incredible, and I feel really privileged to have been a part of it every year and to have worked with teachers at the various high schools before that, helping them get ready to do slams at their schools. A big thank you to Mary Reckner and all the work you do, and everybody else at Literary Arts. Thank you for giving a platform for so many high school students. It's like a dream of mine come true, and I know it means a lot to everybody. So a lot is going on in the news, and you hear about cuts to education, you know, what's happening with our schools, where are our children going, what is this going to look like? And all those are real issues, and they require a lot of attention, and there's a lot of work that still needs to be done. But giving youth a voice is a big, big step. So to all of you who love poetry and love to hear from the youth, thank you. And thank you for tuning in to another episode of Poetic License. I'm your host, Taria Autry. Next month, for August, I might just do a show all about me. I haven't done that yet. I have some random, unreleased, recorded tracks that I think it's maybe time for more people to hear. I'd like to close out this show with a beautiful, inspirational song by Hungry Mob featuring the vocal stylings of Tony Hill.
Understand, another king is born out of this world. Third eye open, you begin to see yourself. From the belly of the moon came forth a shining star to share a gift of verbalistic vibration. Keep shining like the sun, third eye open. You and I are one. Keep shining like the sun, a celebration. I've come to celebrate life. Keep shining like the sun, third eye open. You and I are one. Keep shining like the sun, a celebration. I've come to celebrate life.
I hope you continue to celebrate life and celebrate poetry. You're tuned in to KBOO Portland. And you can hear the next broadcast of Poetic License the first Monday of August and the first Monday of every month at 10 o'clock p.m. Online, you can stream us at www.kboo.fm. And if you would like more information about your host, with the most, feel free to visit my website, www.tariaautry.com. That's www.tariaautry.com. Thanks for tuning in to Community Radio. Without listeners and supporters like yourself, we wouldn't have this great resource. Catch you next month.
John Shuck, host of Religion for Life. Alex McNeil is the executive director for More Like Presbyterians, an LGBTQ advocacy group in the Presbyterian Church USA. Alex is the first openly transgender leader of any organization in a mainline denomination, and he talks with me about next steps for LGBTQ justice in the church. Find weekly podcasts on kboo.fm/religionforlife.
Attention KBOO members and listeners. The KBOO Foundation is seeking to fill four upcoming vacancies on the Board of Directors. Terms run 3 years, beginning on October 1st. The nomination packet, due July 11th, is posted on the KBOO website and paper copies are available at the station. Candidates must submit the completed nomination packet via email to kboocommunity@gmail.com or mail or drop off the completed nomination packet, care of Timothy Welp, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214. Incomplete forms will not be considered as fulfilling the statement of interest requirement by the KBOO bylaws. Packets are due by Saturday, July 11th. The candidate statements submitted as part of the nomination packet will be posted to KBOO's website, and candidates will be expected to participate in an interview for broadcast and a Q&A session at the annual meeting. For more information, please contact the nominating committee at kboocommunity@gmail.com.
This is KBOO Portland, listener-powered, non-corporate community radio.